Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, March 22nd, 2012. All Fly from Dana Marie's self-titled debut CD. Dana Marie was the winner of Faith FM's 2010 Shining Star competition. After 1 year hiatus, Shining Star is back with preliminaries starting tomorrow, Friday, March 23rd, at Bethany Evangelical Missionary Church in Kitchener, followed by another one on Saturday, March 24th at Calvary United Church in St. Jacobs. The remaining preliminaries will take place the weekend of April 13th to 15th. And this year's prize package will include the Shining Star Trophy, a recording session at Guelph's Revelation Sound, 10 songs for a complete album, a full CD creation package including 500 CDs, complete with case and four-page booklet, and much, much more. Well, with us on the phone to talk about her 2010 Shining Star experience is Dana Marie. Good evening, Dana Marie.
Hi, how are you?
Well, let's go back right to the beginning and ask, when did you begin singing?
I began singing. When I was very young. I think we have a home video of me when I was 2 years old, and my dad says, Dana, can you sing us a song? And I start singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and I was only 2 years old, and ever since that I've been singing in church and in school and just really wherever I can, around the house, walking around.
Well, looking back that far, who have been your musical influences?
I don't know. I mean, my family is very musical. My dad and all his siblings grew up traveling with the Dutch Boy Cadets at the drum corps.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was always singing in worship teams. And, you know, my uncle was leading worship in church. And so it was kind of all around me. And I just always enjoyed singing and praising Jesus when I was little. And it just continued from there.
Well, were there any musicians that you sort of really listened to a lot and whose style you particularly enjoyed?
Yeah, I remember growing up, I really liked Natalie Grant and Nicole Mullen. Those were two Christian artists that I listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, I grew up listening to, you know, Spice Girls and the Backstreet Boys and that kind of thing. And I'd make little singing groups with my friends. And in grade school, actually, this is funny, we had a group of us girls that would sing together, and we called ourselves the Christian Color Group. And we'd make songs and sing and make dances, and yeah, we had a great time.
Now, when you're looking at looking back on that, was there any one particular incident or thing that happened that kind of made you realize that music and singing is a direction that you wanted to go?
You know what? To be honest, I never really saw it as a career. It was just something that I loved to do. But coming out of high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do, and it's because I could see myself doing everything. I could see myself being a nurse, and I could see myself being a social worker. I could see myself being a teacher. I couldn't settle on one thing. And so I decided to work coming out of high school. And then I think all along God had been trying to point me towards, you know, actually going to college for worship leadership. But I feel like I was kind of ignoring him and not really listening. And all of a sudden God made it very clear that I was to go to Hillsong College. And so I ended up going to college in Australia for 2 years for worship leadership. And I think it was finally at that point where I thought, hey, you know, this is what I want to do, you know, with my life.
Well, looking at it, I mean, the Hillsong has had a tremendous impact on worship across around the world. And you've got some very tremendous leaders here, Darlene Check and Joel Houston and people like that. What kind of experience was that to go and be involved and immersed in that kind of atmosphere?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect going into it. I didn't even know a whole lot about Hillsong. I knew more about the colleges from researching it. So when I got down there and realized kind of the magnitude of the influence that Hillsong is around the world, I was kind of blown away because I didn't really know I was walking into that. But it was absolutely incredible, A, just to be in that atmosphere, not only in college chapels, but Sunday at church, and just such a passionate worship style and people that it's just so obvious that they love the Lord and they want to write songs for Him. And every Thursday night we'd have a worship and creative arts night. And so those nights were incredible because it's anybody that was that took part in worship in any aspect, whether you're, you know, leading worship or if you're in the choir or if you're doing the lights and sound, you would come out on a Thursday night and we would sit under the leadership of Darlene or Joel or Reuben Morgan. And just kind of hear from them and hear from their heart and get to know them a little bit. And it truly is, you got to know what kind of a servant heart they have and that the church has, such a servant heart. And it's a beautiful thing to see, you know, how much impact they have. But I really believe it's because they are just such servants and they want to be, you know, diligent with what they've been given and the platform that they've been given. So yeah, it was incredible. I miss it a lot.
So did this give you an idea of direction that you felt God was leading you into then?
Mm-hmm, definitely. You know, it was after this that I thought, you know what, I want to be in full-time ministry, however that's going to look. You know, in my first year, I was doing a lot of the worship leadership courses and leadership courses and character building kind of things. But in my second year, I actually switched to the pastoral leadership, and that's where I got more, you know, working with people, and we took preaching class and Christian ethics and things like that. So I, you know, coming home, I knew I wanted to be in full-time ministry, but I didn't know exactly what it was going to look like, and so it was just so cool to see, you know, all of a sudden I come home and God starts opening these doors with Shining Star and recording a CD and. I'm getting these requests to speak and sing at different places, and it was just, you know, it was perfect timing, which is a great confirmation that it was time to come home and that, you know, this is, you know, my calling, and I'm doing, you know, what God had been preparing me for all along.
Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get into some more detail on some of the things you just talked about. We are going to take a quick break and be right back with our guest, Dana Marie, and talk about her experience with the Shining Star competition. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Evaporating, feeling transparent to the world, existing somehow, yet blinding myself to all that kills, and I can't imagine how beauty shines in distance. I ever
Arts Connection. You've been listening to My God, You're Beautiful from Dana Marie's self-titled debut CD, Dana Marie. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Dana Marie. You'd mentioned that once you're finished with Hillsong and that, you came back and you heard about the Shining Star competition. What led you at that point in time, and this would be back in 2010, to actually enter that competition?
I would have to say it was my mom saying, you know, why don't you go ahead and do that? Because I had just gotten home, and, you know, I knew that it was time to come home, but I really wasn't sure what I was going to be doing when I came home. And the competition was right around the corner, and so, thinking back, because I was still in Australia at the time where you had to, you know, kind of put your name in and say, you know, I'd like to compete, I think she filled in the paperwork for me because I was still in Australia, and she sent it in. And so that was lined up already when I came home. And it was only, you know, maybe a week or two after I had actually gotten home. So I quickly got some songs together and got some people to play for me, and I just kind of went for it. I didn't know what to expect, really, but I know as far as I was concerned, you know, I'm home now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a job yet. I'm not involved with my church as much at the moment. You know, I had just gotten home, so, you know, this was what was in my hands. So.
Well, what was it like, I mean, coming back and that quickly being thrown into it and getting ready for the competition? What was it like preparing with that much time, with that little time left to do that?
It was a little bit stressful, I suppose, but I think it wasn't until I made it to the finals that I was a bit like, whoa, okay, now I should really get my act together here. Because before then, you know, I got a friend of mine, you know, we got together and we practiced once or twice, and she, you know, she played for me, and that was great. But then when it got to the finals, you know, I asked a man that goes to my church, just an incredible piano player, and so then we got together a few times and practiced. But I tried not to let it, you know, stress me out too much, because, I mean, you know, God's ultimately in control. I can do what I can, I can sing as well as I can, and, you know, pick songs, and but ultimately, I mean, I wasn't really sure what was mm-hmm. out of it, so I was just kind of doing the best that I could.
Well, what was it like as you were going through, and what were your thoughts as you were going through from stage to stage, and all of a sudden you find that your name is being announced as to going on to the next level? What were your thoughts as you were going from each stage?
Well, I remember when I'd watch all the other singers and performers, and they were all so talented, and everyone had such a different style. And so I really didn't know what to think. I remember I would just kind of try to enjoy everybody else. You know, I mean, you're sitting there nervous because you know you're coming up at four, and then you're three people next, and so you're getting a little antsy. But as much as I could, I would try to just enjoy the other performers, and then, you know, the person before me, then I'd start freaking out and go, oh no, and, you know, start drinking all tons of water because my mouth is feeling dry and I'm getting nervous and butterflies. And but yeah, then when I would hear that I was moving on to the next level, I was just, yeah, obviously ecstatic. Actually, in the semifinals, my name wasn't called to move on to the finals. But then, so two people from each night were chosen, and then each judge got a wild card. So I actually got through on a wild card. So that was pretty incredible because, you know, after they called the two people from that night that will be moving on and I wasn't called, I was a bit like, oh, okay, you know, that's fine. And then they went ahead and said the three wild cards. So, and then I was called for one of those, so that was great, not what I was expecting. At that point, I was just like, you know, nerves and excitement and everything kind of all at once, and oh no, now I have to, you know, I have to prepare more songs, what am I going to do this? And but of course it all worked out, so.
Well, was there any point in time where you really had doubts about whether you should be going on or whether this is the direction God wanted you to go?
Had doubts, because at the end of the day, I mean, it was just kind of a fun thing to do, you know. I met some great people, and I wasn't, you know, at that time I wasn't thinking that this competition was going to make or break, you know, the direction I was going with my life. It was just kind of a fun thing to get involved in. So I never, you know, thought maybe I shouldn't be getting involved in this, because I think anybody that loves to sing, you know, why not? You know, just go out there and sing, and it's always good to kind of get that practice being in front of people and gain that confidence, because it's a scary thing to get up in front of, you know, hundreds of people and kind of you know, put yourself out there and sing your song, and you know you're not singing as well as you did at home because of all these nerves and your throat, you know, your voice is feeling tight. And so, you know, there was never a time where I thought maybe I should, you know, back out of this. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a fun competition.
Did you find your experiences in Hillsong help in preparation and in the performance aspect?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think just because I had practiced being up on stage, because that's the biggest thing for people, you know, is just actually getting up there in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout college, I had different opportunities to sing and to lead worship and to even just be in the choir, like at Hillsong Conference. In my first year, I was in the choir, which is kind of at the back of the stage. And, you know, there's 20,000 people in the Acer Arena. And, I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. But, you know, you kind of get used to that, I guess, to that crowd, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely helped because I wasn't as nervous going out on stage. I mean, at the center of the square where the finals were held, the lights are so bright in your face, I actually couldn't see anybody anyway. So it felt like I was, you know, on my own on that big stage. I could maybe see the first row of people who I didn't recognize. But other than that, the lights are just so bright. So, yeah.
Well, we need to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dana Marie, and talk about life after Shining Star. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
The light is fading, I know. I've been there too. And the last door you remember just fades away. I'm there with you. All hope is fading, I know. The dawn is breaking. Hold on.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Your Mind from Dana Marie. This was the first track Dana Marie recorded after winning the 2010 Shining Star competition. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue and finish up our conversation with Dana Marie. What were your thoughts? You went into the finals on a wild card. You had the, you know, you went through the whole competition. What were your thoughts when they finally announced your name as the winner?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really sure what to think. It was kind of like, oh, wow. Because like I mentioned earlier, you know, on the nine people that were there that night, everyone was just so different. So I had no idea. I mean, everybody did really well. It was just depending what the judges were looking for, what kind of style they were looking for. So, I mean, you know, they bring us all back out on the stage at the end, and they line us up, and the judges come on the stage, and they start with, the third place, and, you know, they say the winner of the third place, and they say the winner of the second place person. And so, I mean, I was trying not to overthink things, because I'm known for that. You know, I'll overthink every decision, I'll overthink every, you know, everything that I'm about to do. So I was just trying not to overthink it too much and just kind of enjoy the moments. And so then when they finally did mention my name, I was just like, oh, wow, great. Isn't that fun? So, I mean, it was a bit, I wasn't really sure how to react. I didn't really want to jump up and down, you know, screaming, and I'm not the type to do that anyways. So I was just like, oh, great, you know, and walked over to the judges and thanked them and got the award, and, you know, people were taking some pictures. And so, I mean, I was happy, but again, at that point, I didn't really know what that was going to mean. I knew I won this prize, and, you know, I was going to get into the studio, but I wasn't sure. Yeah, I wasn't really sure what that meant at that point.
So what did it mean? What happened to your life after you finished with this?
Well, a few days after, you know, I'm really thinking about this and thinking, you know, maybe this is part of the reason that God was calling me to come back home, because before then I was planning to stay at Hillsong maybe a few more years, and then all of a sudden I just got this strong kind of feeling just that it was time to come home, and it was time to come home, and I was all of a sudden feeling so homesick to come home, and it was the first time I'd really missed home that much, and so I had to take a step back and think, you know, maybe this is God telling me it's time to come home. So after I won the Shining Star, I thought, you know, maybe this is part of the reason that God was calling me home, is to be part of this. So at that point, I took it really seriously, and I started writing, and that's when I came up with the song Your Mind, because I was going to be in the studio that next week and to show Brad what I had been writing. And so I brought him the song Your Mind, which is a song that I wrote for someone really close to me that was just going through just a really hard time. And I just sat down at the piano and just started writing it. I mean, it's not like a miracle song or anything like that. I mean, I wrote it fairly quickly, but after that comes a lot of editing the song and going over it and changing the lyrics and changing the melody a little bit. But that was the first song that I came up with that I really, really wanted to record for this individual person. And so it's just a song that's written from God's perspective to his children, saying, you know, no matter what you're going through, I know who you are. I know what you're going through. I've been down that road before, and I'm holding your hand through it. And so that was also the first song that was released onto the radio.
Now, what was it like going into the recording studio? Had you been in a recording studio prior to that?
Yeah, it was a bit intimidating because, I mean, there's just so much to there's so much going on. There's so much electronics, and, like, I didn't know how it all worked. But Brad was great, and I came in, and, you know, I just showed him a few things that I had been working on, but especially that song. I said, you know, if possible, I'd really like to start working on this song. So basically, you just you do a demo first, and so, you know, you put the click track on, and you play. I played the piano, you know, as close to the click as I could, and then I sang a rough vocals over it, and then you just start building it from there. You know, you add the guitar, or you add the drums, and you add some effects, and you add the bass, and you add harmonies, and you do your final vocals again. And so it's all layered. You don't, you know, just come out with this song all at once.
Yeah.
But definitely a lot of hard work. It was definitely a learning curve, because I'd never been in a studio before. So, you know, at first I would just kind of sit there staring at the computer screens, and Brad would say, what do you want to do here? Do you want to do a build, or do you want to, you know, add some strings? And I would just be like, I don't know. Like, what do you think we should do? You know, you're the professional.
Yeah.
So the first song, you know, was definitely Brad kind of just showing me the ropes. After that, I got a little more confidence in the studio, and, you know, I could kind of put my input and my ideas and, you know, how about this idea? Or remember that sound that we used in the first song? You know, can we use that here? Or for the harmonies, I would just kind of go in and, you know, just give it a few shots, you know, and when you get a good one, then you keep it. So it was, a really fun experience, but, hard work for sure. Lots to learn.
Well, we're quickly running out of time. I got two quick questions for you. First off, what kind of advice would you give to people that are in this year's competition?
Just go into it, you know, with a joyful heart, and don't think too seriously about it. I mean, this is for fun. It's a great prize. But at the end of the day, you're going to meet some great people, and you're going to learn a lot about yourself.
And if people are interested in finding out more about you and your music, where can they do that?
I have a website. It's danamariemusic.com.
It's Dana, DanaMarie, music.com.
Correct.
Great. Dana Marie, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Robert.
And don't forget about the preliminaries for this year's Shining Star competition that start tomorrow, Friday, March 23rd, at Bethany Evangelical Missionary Church in Kitchener, and another one on Saturday, March 24th at Calvary United. Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Dana Marie. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.